Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
I got to show you a few clips of Marjorie Taylor Greene on The View. Now, this episode released on Election Day in America. It is November 4th, so make sure you get out and vote. If you live in Virginia, you can vote for Abigail Spanberger. In New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill. New York City, vote for Zohran. If you live in California, vote yes on Prop 50. I mean, there's a few other states with certain ballot measures like Maine, Texas, Washington. Go look up to see if your state has an election today. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, in particular, has been commanding a lot of attention. I think she's intentionally deploying a political strategy in which she's trying to moderate because she could be going for a Senate run or some sort of bigger run. I mean, honestly, from a political strategy point of view, she's gaining the attention in moderating. I think that it could be a decent strategy. Not that I agree with her. I just mean from a Republican strategy perspective, this could pay off for her to differentiate herself from the party. In the first clip, she explains why she's been so adamant about the Epstein files releasing. I want to lead with this one, and then we can talk about the government shutdown and Marjorie Taylor Greene essentially calling it like it is for the first time in a while with healthcare on Election Day. I mean, this is kind of big stuff. Saying that your own party is responsible for the government shutdown or for the increase in healthcare costs on Election Day, this aired on election morning, is pretty bold. But let's back up and start with the Epstein bit.
You've been outspoken about releasing the Jeffrey Epstein files to the public, including the names of individuals involved in his sex trafficking network. Now, Democrats have been calling for that, too, along with some of the other Republicans. But most of your party is pushing back and stalling. Why do you think that is? Because if President Trump is not implicated in there, what is exactly being protected here?
By the way, we know that Trump's name is in the files. We know that the FBI had to sit him down and say, your name is littered throughout the files. And then there were redactions issued of his name. And then Elon tweeted out, there's a big bomb. Trump is in the Epstein files. Then Elon was gone. We know what happened. Yeah.
I have no idea, but it seems like very rich and powerful men are being protected. And I will sign anybody's resolution, and I'll get on board with anyone's push to release those files, because this is about women, especially when they were teenagers, were victims of rape and sexual abuse by Jeffrey Epstein. And according to the victims, there's a list of men that they haven't released yet. They are afraid of lawsuits. They're afraid of it. And I said I would read the list for them on the House floor because I have speech and debate protection there. However, I also think that this is about all victims of human trafficking, children that are being molested or raped, any men and women that are held in some sort of sexual abuse situation. What does our government say to them if the government will not release the information on the most famous convicted pedophile in history? What is that message back? And I think it's horrendous.
I mean, on top of that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene not long ago was running defense for Matt Gaetz as Republicans were covering up his Venmos and his alleged sex crime. So Marjorie is not that far off from being one of those people. But in this situation, she tends to be right.
And then you know what else? This has been a failure across administrations. It's not just this one. It was the Biden administration, then the Trump administration, then the Obama administration. It should have all across, spanning this history, should have been released. And there's clearly...
There you see more of her political strategy. She's kind of intentionally separating herself from every previous administration as if to say, you know, I would have done it differently than all of the people who have been screwing you over. It's an intentional political strategy, but I don't think the Biden admin and the Trump admin hold the same amounts of, you know, blame. First of all, during the Trump admin, Pam Bondi said she had the list on her desk. She was reading it. She was going over it. And then all of a sudden, the list was gone. Poof, it vanished. Trump's name, we know, is in the Epstein files. So the question then is, what happened? Okay, let's go on to the more pertinent, more modern day events, because the government shutdown is on day 35, 36 now. It's headed to be the longest government shutdown in history, topping the government shutdown in Trump's first term. Soon, we will have subsidies expire for the Affordable Care Act, and premiums will skyrocket. We have seen SNAP benefits expire, but certain states were able to keep it afloat for a few days. And in those few days, it seems like lawsuits may trigger more funding for it. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of mechanisms at play here between healthcare and SNAP benefits. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is kind of telling it like it is. I mean, she calls out Speaker of the House Mike Johnson directly, and in doing so, is essentially calling Trump's bullshit. Trump has said he has a replacement healthcare plan. Trump has promised he's got a replacement healthcare plan coming. They've got concepts that are in the works that are just 2 weeks away. He always says this. Yet Marjorie says there's no plan. This blows up any leverage the Republicans have because we have no reason. We have no reason to compromise or anything when it's Republicans, when Republicans have no backup plan for the American people. Let's take a look.
Woman, it's so nice to have you. And I watched you on Bill Maher, and I think you've been extremely eloquent in this shutdown in talking about the issue of Obamacare subsidies. I'm a Republican, too. We don't agree on everything, but we both agree we have to extend these subsidies at least for a year because you just can't pull the rug out from under people who are going to see their premiums skyrocket. You talked about your own family, how you'd be impacted, but I imagine many of the 700,000 constituents you represent. So what are you hearing from your constituents on this issue, and how do you see this shutdown ending?
My phone in my office, my district office in Washington, is ringing off the hook every single day. People are beyond outraged, and they're terrified. But this has been going on for a long time. Yeah. Democrats voted for the ACA in 2010. It went into effect in 2014. That was the year that we saw our health insurance policy for a family of five go from $800 a month to $2,400 a month. And I'll say this, we also watch health insurance companies drop out of the market, and healthcare costs have risen and risen and risen and risen. But I'm going to pick on Republicans. Republicans never fixed it. And then the ACA tax credits were passed in 2021, and there was a sunset date of the end of this year, and Republicans never made a plan for that. And I have been practically, I yelled at Mike Johnson last week on our GOP conference call. By the way, I'm missing the call today. It's going on right now. And I hope that Mike Johnson is finally giving a single health care policy.
A single health care policy. He hopes he's maybe giving a single healthcare policy after all of this time. I mean, listen, it's really easy to criticize the Affordable Care Act. It's very easy a decade later, a decade and a half later, to post hoc criticize the Affordable Care Act and say that the long-term effects had this or this negative effect. But damn, at least Obama did something. At least he passed something. At least he had this landmark piece of legislation. Donald Trump has been in politics almost since the Affordable Care Act passed, and what do we have to show? What does he have to show? Nothing. He has tried to tear down the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. John McCain saved it when it was hanging by a thread. The same Affordable Care Act that saved my uncle's life, that has saved multiple people's lives that I know, has saved many lives across the country and allows 20 million people to have access to healthcare. It's easy to criticize it, yes, but what have Republicans proposed? Nothing. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson keeps getting called out by Marjorie because he has no plan. He's calling her bullshit, meaning Trump has no plan, meaning they've done nothing. What have they been doing over the past 10 years? I don't get it.
And I shouldn't have to go into a skiff to go find our Republican health insurance plan.
Maybe honestly, there is no plan.
You know what? You want to know something? That, I believe, is the truth. There's a lot of...
Yeah, there is obviously no plan.
...ideas, there's a lot of bills, but there's no consensus.
Yeah.
And I think that's a failure.
At least Obamacare was a plan that was put into place. I mean, it's so hard to have landmark legislation like that. Let's continue with this final clip where Marjorie Taylor Greene then continues to kind of praise Trump a bit, But then she places more blame on Speaker Mike Johnson. Again, it's part of her political strategy. And I'm not trying to give her too much credit. I'm not saying she's some political genius. I'm just saying Marjorie, after a few years, after like half a decade, maybe more in politics, is doing some intentional maneuvering with her positions out in the public and with this PR circuit. And it's pretty clear what she's trying to do. I mean, she just distanced herself from prior Trump, Biden and Obama administrations. And now she's strategically criticizing Speaker of the House Mike Johnson without actually criticizing Trump. So she's got like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. She's still kind of MAGA, but she's able to criticize and break with the administration on issues that are popular. She's a populist by nature. Let's listen to this clip.
Trump is reportedly calling his MAGA cronies because they say that you're slamming Republicans too much. Well, you're taking my job.
And by the way, nothing that I'm saying is bad either. I don't think it's bad that she's moderating. If Marjorie is publicly moderating her positions, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just explaining some of the political strategy. And she's enabled a lot of this GOP extremism she's now randomly complaining about. So just to understand, it is a strategy.
You're slamming Republicans a lot on topics like healthcare, the Epstein files. We know he's still your favorite president. I mean, Truman is mine. I dated him.
But I did not date Donald Trump. But I do love him.
You do love him, yeah.
Yes, I did.
All right, well, whatever. So when was the last time you spoke to him? And what's with the tension between the two of you? Now, you may love him, but he may not love you back right now.
Well, that's okay. I mean, Donald Trump, he usually yells at everybody, so we're all used to it. Uh-huh. But he's the president of the United States. And here's something you all may not know about me. I think a lot of people on the left are learning that when I ran for Congress in 2020, mm-hmm. I ran criticizing Republicans and Democrats equally. Because I come from a working class family, ran a construction company for over 20 years, and I feel like the government has failed all of us. And it purely disgusts me. It really does. And I represent a district that is rural, manufacturing district, blue-collar workers, and people have been crushed by decades of failure in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And so I have no problem pointing fingers at everyone. And the worst thing that I just can't get over is we're not working right now. Mm-hmm. And I put that criticism directly on the Speaker of the House. And we should be at work. All the people sitting in this audience, they go to work every day. People at home watching this show, they go to work every day. Ladies, you go to work every day. The people on your set. And it is an embarrassment to me that we're not.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. She says at the end of this clip that it's a failure that there's no healthcare plan.
Consensus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a failure.
She's not really pulling punches towards Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, but she is towards Donald Trump. And that, again, is part of this delineation, the strategy that I think she's trying to draw up. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate the videos and the analysis on the Adam Mockler channel, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.